you, Lord Jesus. We live in momentous times. Times of blessing, times of great distress. If we could see into the heavenlies, we would probably be witnessing some of the things that we read in the Revelation about Michael and his angels warring against Satan and his forces. And also, as we read later in the Revelation in chapter 20, I believe it is. Let me just look there real quickly. About the Lamb, chapter 19. Let me begin with this. Then I saw heaven open. This is Revelation 19 at verse 11. And behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. I don't know how to comment on that, because I don't know how white horses, how they move, how they get around in the heavens. I don't understand that, so I'll just leave it the way it is. But the fact is that there is a war going on. And if we think we can draw a truce line and no man's land or some neutral territory, we're deceiving ourselves. The other side of the reality is that God equips his saints for the hour in which we live, both to survive, to endure, and to be triumphant. In light of this, I want to continue with a theme I started several weeks ago on the joy of the Lord. In Nehemiah chapter 8, come on, where are you, Brother Nehemiah? You're just not showing up here. Okay. Nehemiah chapter 8. Cutting in at verse 8. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law." Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoiced greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. Oh, maybe some of this sounds a little bit out of context. But the fact is, here you have a company of people who are the survivors of horrendous, indescribable calamity perpetrated in the destruction of Jerusalem a good number of decades prior to this particular setting. The city is sacked and burned. The nation is annihilated, so to speak. And most of the people that survive are taken captive to Babylon. And they are in captivity for 70 years until the word of the Lord comes to the civil authority in their day, and he issues a proclamation to release whoever wants to go back to Jerusalem to go with his blessing. What happens? A small remnant returns to rubble, to disorder, to chaos, and to conflict, because in the process of rebuilding the city and rebuilding the city walls, there was opposition from the unbelievers around them. There had to be conveyed to this little group of people a substance from God that enabled them not only to endure, to survive, but to rebuild in all of this chaos, and to know a carrying factor within themselves, given to them from God, which was not the product of their own mental gymnastics. The joy of the Lord. May I ask a simple question? Whose joy? But it ends up where? It ends up in the hearts of God's people, and the effect of this joy is to cause them to triumph in very, very difficult circumstances. In anticipation of our pilgrimage on earth, I want to refer our attention to a couple of scriptures that we already made mention of. First of all, in John chapter 17, and then in John chapter 16. John chapter 17, at verse 13, we have these words. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, or for them, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified. Your Bible probably says by the truth, but better said, in reality. In other words, not in make-believe, but in real life function. For them I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in reality. What's the effect of all this? God turning us loose in hostile territory, not only to survive, but to be overcomers. Now, one of the very important ingredients, as we will see from the word of the Lord, for God's people is patience and long-suffering, endurance, hope. How does it happen? Okay, let me read on here. This is verse 20 of John 17. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe or come to believe that you sent me. And here's a key statement. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. As we see from this particular scripture, the glory of God is the communicator of the divine graces into our life. If we will grow in the Lord, if we will grow in our own person, in our relationship with the Lord, and may I say, in the joy of the Lord, there is a need within us then to experience an ongoing unveiling of the glory of the Lord in our lives. I don't recall the words of the first song we sang this morning, Brother Jeff, but it was pertinent to what I believe is happening in the world about the glory of the Lord, about the flow, the presence of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, all going on in a world which is so hostile to God. Now remember, some of the hostility that we are experiencing as being unleashed in the world today is not so much against people. People end up being the ones that the hatred and the violence is being perpetrated on. But the reason for the violence, number one, is hatred of God. And because that is a fact, Jesus said, they hated me without a cause. You're going to experience the same hostility. Only do not respond in kind. In other words, we are called to what, humanly speaking, is an impossible lifestyle. That is, that we transcend our natural human impulse to conflict and stress and ascend in the heavenlies and relate to these issues according to the ways of the kingdom, according to the Spirit of God, according to the enabling that comes by the Spirit of the living God, and in so doing to conquer. That is to overcome, to subdue the enemy, and to see God and His kingdom glorified in the earth, demonstrated to all as to who He really is. I believe apart from the joy of the Lord, we cannot well retain our sanity. We certainly cannot maintain our peace. We cannot maintain the sense of well-being and the delightfulness of what is a part of the joy of the Lord. So let's go on. John chapter 17, the word of the Lord tells us that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. In other words, not just a little dusting of joy, but a full measure of the very joy which is the joy of the Lord. Now remember, it is that very joy that sustained the Lord Himself in the hour of His deepest grief and greatest conflict. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. So when He was on His way to Jerusalem, the scripture says His face was set like a flint, knowing well what faced Him. On the night of His betrayal, He wasn't gloomy and morose and sad. He encouraged those that He knew would be left behind. In a very normal, straightforward kind of approach to the whole issue of the Last Supper and then going to the garden and knowing what was going to happen there and what would happen to the Lord, the joy of the Lord carried Him in the hour of His greatest need and enabled him to be triumphant, to be an overcomer. Praise the Lord. Nehemiah's day, the joy of the Lord is your strength. This little band of survivors of such calamity, with the humanly impossible task of rebuilding the city and rebuilding the wall. Nehemiah came on the scene, he encouraged them in the Lord, and a job that they couldn't get done for many, many years, they finally finished in 52 days. That is the rebuilding of the wall. The joy of the Lord is your strength. If we're going to experience greater measures of his joy, we need to experience greater measures of his revelation, of his appearing. I got my feet in too many places already. We'll be here a long time after lunch if I don't expedite myself a little bit. I mentioned earlier that the Lord has called us to what is, humanly speaking, an impossible lifestyle. Listen to what James tells us in chapter 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, come on, do you have your head on straight? You know, to delight in your testings? Well, see, what's supposed to happen? Well, we'll just keep on reading here. To Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I thought when I came to Jesus, all my troubles would go away. I thought I would have no more difficulties. I thought, Lord, you're going to put me into la-la land until heaven happens. And the fact is, we're called to battle. We're called to war. We're called to hardship. Now, hardship is not hardship when a dynamic beyond yourself is energizing and enabling you. Now, when that has happened, there is such an overflow of the sense of joy, of delightsomeness, of serenity, because of the realization of what is going on within you, and also the realization of the future ultimate good that is coming to pass in the realization of the purposes of God. Hallelujah. There is coming a day when the last trump will sound and war will be no more. In the meantime, don't fall asleep on the watch. Is that correct, saints? Don't fall asleep on the watch. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 7. I know one factor that transcends all this, but it doesn't do away with it. And I'm anticipating the day when this is going to be happening on planet Earth like it's going on in heaven. They never cease to cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. That's going on in heaven. Methought for a while we're going to catch a little of it in our worship this morning and just keep on going and going and going. Sister Sherry, let that anointing flow. What you hear from heaven, share with us that don't have that good a hearing of what's going on in heaven. If you hear the music of heaven and the worship and the praise, the adoration, the glory, help us who don't hear so well, so we can join in that glorious chorus. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Now while that's going on, this is going on too. Revelation 12, verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. We can experience that on an ongoing basis. How so? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That can be a daily experience for every one of us. Praise the Lord. While we get, this is terrible English, not tangled up in the affairs of this world and the spirit of this age, but we hear the sounds of heaven and we know the impartation of his spirit and the joy that comes with it, and we're able to stand and persevere in the trying hour. Colossians chapter 1. Praise you, Lord Jesus. At verse 9, Colossians 1:9, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, or the power of his glory, for all patience and long-suffering, endurance with joy, not grumbling, not complaining, not judging, not blame-shifting, standing in the place where God planted you, with all patience and long-suffering with joy. What does that help you to do? It keeps your head clear, keeps your focus, keeps you from fighting the windmills. It keeps your heart right so you can stand in faith. It enables you to protect yourself. It enables you to take the stance of the triumphant one against the evil, declaring unto the powers of evil and the host of hell and the prince of darkness the verdict rendered by the cross and the triumph of the Lord's resurrection. Praise the Lord. To execute on them, to carry out upon them the judgments written, this honor have all his saints. I was never in the military, so I don't know anything about it, but I'm sure getting in harm's way may have some exhilaration to some people, but it's not necessarily enjoyable. Standing in battle with the Lord, according to the Word of God, can be a delightsome experience. Because of what the Lord has done. Because the triumph of the sacrifice of His love against all evil, until evil will no longer be found anywhere. Not in heaven, not on earth, not under the earth. Because ultimately, evil and all of its effects will be locked up in a maximum security penitentiary for all eternal lifers, from which there will be no jailbreaks. Hallelujah. Let that keep you going. And with that frame of mind comes the joy of the Lord. Now, I've got on my notes here that I'm supposed to read Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Now, that's a lot of Bible. But since we're all Bible toters, let me test your endurance. Romans 12 at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. In this world? Yes. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. That's not what's going on in this world. See, the battle lines are being drawn. And it's not so much a physical war. There is a spiritual war going on in our day that is unprecedented in the history of the world. See, the evil that's going on, for example, in the Sudan right now, 3,000 people a week are being martyred. Christians dying for no other reason than that they will not bow their knee to Islam. What is the source of that? You know, it defies human reasoning. It's got to be perpetrated by the arch liar. He likes being religious. You know, what was the purpose of his uprising against God? He wanted the worship that God was getting. He still wants it. Well, so much for that. Don't let me get into that territory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Who is sufficient for all this? That's a plateful. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinions. Repay to no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Rejoice in hope, saints. Where does it come from? Titus 2, verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, that's in the middle of a sentence, so let me back up a little bit. Titus 2 at verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Perhaps a better rendering of that phrase is looking for the blessed hope and the appearance of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now we know that there is coming an ultimate unveiling of that glory. But there can be a personal unveiling of that glory from day to day. As we grow from glory to glory to glory in the Lord Jesus. Right on the front lines of battle. Not giving way to the hatred, vengefulness of the enemy, destructiveness and chaos, violence and murder, but emissaries of life and light and truth and love wherever God plants us. And with that patience of hope and the joy that comes with it, we open.